Morning, everyone. Let's get underway. Kuf Chaf Aleph is today's daf. We're back on Kuf Chaf. And we are starting in the, right in the middle of the Amud, Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph. And let's start from the two dots again. And we are starting from the words kippah. Kippah, Mishnah talks about a series of quasi-foods, somewhat foods, where it could either serve as a yad or zeshama, either as an extension, a handle, or as a protective layer to the food. Okay, and as we've been discussing since the beginning of the ninth perek, when it comes to shomer is anything that protects the food. So for sure it's going to conduct tumma, it'll import tumma, it'll export tumma into the food, and it'll also be mitzarif and also add to the shear. So that if, by food you need a kibetza, you need a requisite amount, which is the volume of an egg, and so the shomer is going to be mitzarif. That'll add and in, be included in terms of getting you to the shear. In terms of a yad, in terms of a handle, so it'll be machnis, it'll be motzi, it'll bring tumma in, it'll export tumma out, but it will not be mitzarif. Mishnah talked about a series of things where basically it's not an actual food, but it'll either serve as a shomer or as a yad. The hide of the animal, the rotev, the juice of the animal, and the kippah. Now what exactly is the kippah? So back in the Mishnah, so Rashi says it's spices. Why did Rashi say that? Because that's basically what our Gemara is going to say. My kippah, Amarava Pirma. So the first answer of the Gemara is Rava who says that's Pirma. Pirma means cut up meat. So the Gemara says, Amalei Abayhu, Atzma Yitma Tumas Ochlin. That's food. That's not what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about non-food items, which basically are going to be viewed as food. But that's food. Ela Amarava Papa Tavlin. So Papa says that's Tavlin spices. Okay, good. Tanan Hasam. So the Gemara's discussion now is going to be basically the following discussion. We know there are a number of things in the Torah that you're not allowed to eat. Isuri achila, right? Prohibited foods if eaten, there'll be liability, culpability. You'll get malchus, sometimes you'll get kares, etc., etc. The Gemara's discussion over here is going to be a very generic discussion, a really global discussion. What if it's a solid food that I liquefy? Or what if it's a liquid food that I solidify? Is there going to be liability in those cases over there? So generally speaking, the answer is no. And there are going to be areas in halacha where it doesn't matter if I convert it from a solid to a liquid or from a liquid to a solid. So for example, we'll start off with a Mishnah. Mishnah and Menachos. Tanan Hasan. Hikfas Adam va'achla o shehim chas achela v'gam u'chayev. If I take blood and I solidify the blood, I mentioned yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf, there's a Tosfos over here. Tosfos says, how did I heat it up? I heated it up using the sun. Why? Because Tosfos is of the opinion that if I cook blood, it's no longer an Isser D'Oraisa to eat that blood. The Isser D'Oraisa, says Tosfos, is only if you eat raw blood. But if you eat cooked blood, it's no longer an Isser D'Oraisa. So our Mishnah is talking about cooked blood. It must be that it was cooked by the sun. Cooked by the sun is not considered cooked. Okay? That is Tosfos over here. There's a Rashi over here that seems to argue on Tosfos. Rashi says, Hikva hikrishu al gabe ha'or. You cooked it over the fire. Sounds like from Rashi that it wouldn't make a difference whether you cooked it by the sun, whether you cooked it by the fire. It still is a violation of achilas dam, of eating blood. Okay? Seemingly a machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos. Oshim chasachelev, or you have fats. Now, fats are solid. We're talking about the hard fats of a animal, not the soft fat that you know, melt very, very quickly. Although these chelev, you could melt, and you melt it, and you turn into a liquid, and you swallow and you ingest. In both of these cases, you're going to be chayav. Bishlam ikfas adam achlu kemedak ve'achshav achshavei. Gemara says, look, by blood, if you solidify blood, you're machshiv it. In other words, you gave it a certain status. So for sure, the consumption of blood, which turned into a solid, that's a no-brainer. Elahim chasachel v'gamau achilek siv bay. But here's what I don't understand. Meaning, when it comes to a chalev that you turn into a liquid, so Gemara says, the Torah's prohibition is on eating, not on drinking. Those are two different actions. And so if I take chalev and I turn it into a liquid and I drink the chalev, why should there be any liability? So the Gemara darshins, yeah, but when it talks about not eating chalev, The Torah describes it in the context of nefesh. Rashi quotes Parshat Tzav, v'nichrasa ha-nefesh. Right, the soul is going to get cut off. And any time the soul enjoys something, so that's going to be a liability in the world of Chelev. Rashi continues to write, nefesh mashma kol davar ha-miyashev dato sha'adam ve'afilu shoseh. The Torah says, even though the Torah says don't eat Chelev, what the Torah is really saying is don't enjoy Chelev. Don't get satisfaction out of Chelev. So there, it doesn't, now that the Torah puts it in that context, so it doesn't matter if I eat it, doesn't matter if I drink it, if I'm getting any type of satisfaction out of Chelev, so then I violate the Yisod HaRaisa.
But you have to ingest.
You have to ingest it, and why does the Torah then say the word Achila? So probably, Rashi doesn't say this, but my best guess is, probably to get you a shear. Meaning because every time the Torah says lo sochal, the Torah is telling you don't eat a certain amount. How much? We know halach l'moshe misina, the amount is a kazayis. So perhaps that's the story in terms of why the Torah says don't eat it just to get you to the shear. Tanyanami gabi chametz. Now, we're going to make the exact same point by chametz. Meaning, chametz is usually a solid, right? Chametz is bread. If I take it and I put it into a blender and I turn it into a liquid, giving a modern day reference over here, but and I turn it into a liquid, am I violating the Isser? And again, by chametz, the Torah says don't eat chametz. Torah doesn't say don't drink chametz. Ki agavna im chal v'gamo im chametz u'anosh karis im matzo he in adam yotze by yidei chavasa v'pesach. So actually, it's not consistent the halacha in the sense that if I take chametz and I liquefy it, that's it. I'm violating the issur of eating chametz on Pesach. If I take matzah and liquefy it, put matzah in the blender. Now you're not really going to end up with a liquid. So that's not going to work. I mean, the Gemara's assumption is that you can cook it up nice and high and basically liquefy it through heat. However you got to that point. Not that important right now, the practical. But just in terms of the concept, if I drink matzah, I did not fulfill the obligation. So you see the inconsistency. Drinking chametz, that's it, that's liability. Drinking matzah, you don't get the credit for doing the mitzvah. Now, bishlama im matzah, he ain't adam yotze ba yidei chavasa bepesach lechem, oni amar rechmanav ha'ilav lechem hu. Look, in terms of liquefying the matzah, that I understand, says the Gemara. That's not an issue at all. Because the Torah says lechem oni. It's got to be bread. So if I turn it into a drink, that's not bread. There's no way that you can call that bread. I mean, you can, but I'm saying it doesn't. That's not the definition of bread. So that I understand. But here's a part of the braisa that I don't understand, is that if I take chametz and I turn to liquid, why should I be violating the Isser? The Torah says, don't eat chametz. I'm Reish Lakish, I'm a Kra. Nefesh l'rabbas is a shosa. So Reish Lakish comes with the same drasha, which is that when the Torah talks about eating chametz, it says, v'nichrasa ha-nefesh, the soul will be cut off. So again, the prohibition is not eating chametz, even though the Torah says achila. The prohibition is not satisfying yourself with chametz on Pesach. V'tanya nami gabi nevelas of tahor. One more time, we're going to see this. Where, if I turn something into a liquid, I violate. Ki agavne imchal ba'or, tamei. Bechama tahor. If I take the carcass of kosher bird that did not receive a proper shechita, and I cook it up, in a fire, and now I turned it into a liquid, and I drink it, I'm going to be tamei. We know, nevelas of tahor, the carcass of a kosher bird. If I ingest it, I become tamei. It's an odd form of kabbalah satuma, of receiving tuma. Usually it's touching, usually it's carrying. By a mace, it's ohel. Here, it's by ingestion, by swallowing it. So even if I don't swallow it as a food, I swallow it as a liquid, I'm going to be tamei. And again, the Torah says, I don't understand, because when the Torah gives us the parameters of not eating nivlas of tahor and being tamei if I eat nivlas of tahor, the Torah uses the word achila, and again, I'm Reish Lakish, I'm a Kra, nefesh l'rabba, sesa shosa. So, the Gemara just adds one other point over here, yahach b'chamanami. So the Gemara says, so what difference does it make how I turned it into a liquid? I turned the liquid through a fire, turned the liquid through a sun. What difference should it make? Gemara answers very simply, Bechama Isruche Misrach. Because by cooking in the sun, that's not cooking, that's basically spoiling it, turning it into something which is disgusting, it's no longer even a food. All right, the point has been made, three times over, that if I take a salad and I turn it into a liquid, so you are still going to be chayev, it's true by chaleb, it's true by chamet, and it's true by nivlas of tahor. You know what the Gemara is going to do now? Right, textbook Gemara. The Gemara now is going to wonder, why repeat it all three times? Utsricha. Dikas rachmana chaleb chamet, alasimine shikin lo haisal shasa kosher. Look, chaleb is always prohibited from birth. Chametz, not true. Most of the year it's fine. So chametz becomes prohibited. So it had a shasa kosher. I can't learn out chametz from chaleb. And nevela lo asim minei shekein anushkares. And also, the consumption of nevela, I can't learn out from those two. If I eat chametz, kares. If I eat chalev, kares. That's not true by eating nevela. Eating nevela is only a lav. Ikas rechmen chametz, chalev lo asim minei shekein lo huta mechlalo. Look, chametz is categorically usser. Meaning, once you get to Pesach, there's no loopholes. Chalev, it's not categorically usser, meaning there's some chalev that's okay, i.e., the chalev that comes out of a chaya. Okay. Unevela lo asim in eshekein and ashkaris. And also, I can't learn out nevela because nevela, even though it's categorically usser, it's not ishkaris, it's only a lav. Ikaz rechman ben nevela hanach lo asim in eshekein matam ah. And also, I can't state the halacha by nevela, meaning that if I turn it from a solid to a liquid, I'm going to be liable because nevela is only a lav, chametz and chalev is a kares. Okay, good. That's step one of this discussion. You know what step two is going to be? How about learning it from two of the three? Chad mechad alawasi ataisi chad mitarta. Haitaisis of the Gemara says, okay, which combo package will get us to where we want to be? Lo lichtov rechmana ben nevela v'taisi mehanach. So not nevela, which means now chalev and chametz, that's not going to work. Malahanach shekein anish karetz, because chalev and chametz is an isser karetz, nevela is not. Lo lichtov rechmana ben chametz. So leave out chametz, and that leaves us with chalev and nevelas of tahor. V'taisi mehanach, malahanach shekein lo haitzalem shasa kosher. That's not going to work because both nevela and chalev never had a moment of permissibility. Chametz for 350 whatever days had a moment of permissibility. La lichtav rechmana bechalev. Okay, last opportunity. Leave out chalev, which just gives us chametz and nevela. V'taisi mahanach malanach shekein lohuta mechlalan. Tome bechalev shohuta mechlala. But that you can't do because by chalev there's a loophole. The loophole is a legal loophole, which is you can eat chalev of a chaya. So the Gemara says, well, what's the loophole? Meaning, if we're talking about the chelav of a behemah, of a domesticated animal, so that we're not eating, that goes up onto the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, well, nevela also goes up onto the Mizbeach. Interesting. The Gemara says nevela also goes up onto the mizbech. Yeah, malikas of legavoa, because when you do malika on a bird, which is what you're supposed to do, when you do malika on a bird, so if I would have done that in a different context, meaning outside the base of Mikdash, that'd be a nevela, and yet the Torah says do it in the base of Mikdash and offer it on the mizbech. So it's really the same, right? Basically the same, chalev goes on the mizbeach, nevela goes on the mizbeach. Ve'ela chalev chaya. So the Gemara says, okay, so obviously we're talking about the chalev of the chaya. Lehejot. Nevela nami shtar melika dechata ta'of lekohanim. So the Gemara says, well, you'll see people eating nevela when the kohanim, when they offer the chatas bird, they're going to be eating it, and they're eating nevela. Now, I don't know. In other words, if you really think through what the Gemara is doing over here, the Gemara is calling Malika Nevela. That's not so fair. Meaning, in the Beis HaMikdash, that's what you're supposed to do. Correct. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, it's called Nevela. But in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is Malika. And the Gemara is calling it Nevela. All right. You know.
Is that the Nevela that's also in the Beis Mizveyach also?
Yeah, that's the same.
That's the only Nevela.
Yeah, right. And the Gemara is saying that's Hota Mechalo. That's the legal loophole. Okay. It's really turning into a little bit of semantics over here because, yes, it's true you can call it Nevela, but I don't know if you can get away with calling it Nevela when that's the mitzvah. Correct, correct. It's the Beis HaMikdash version of Shechita. So the La'olam Chelochai Lahejo, the Kakash Lach Kohanim Kohanim Meshuchim Gavo Kazachu. And essentially that's what the Gemara says, although the Gemara doesn't use that terminology, but that we're talking about semantics. But basically that's what the Gemara says. Look, that's not a fair comparison. Meaning, in the world of Chelev Chaya is a legal loophole. Meaning, you want to eat Chelev? Good. Don't go to a domesticated animal. Go to a non-domesticated animal, and you can eat Chelev. By Nevela, there is no legal loophole. There's no way you can eat Nevela. I, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim are eating the Chatas bird. The Gemara's terminology is Kohanim Mishuchen Kavoa Kazachu. That's not, they're not eating Nevela. In other words, that's God's permission for them to be able to eat that. Or, if you want, the way I'll package it for you is that's not Nevela. Meaning, that's what the Torah says to do in that circumstance, is to do Malika on the bird. Don't call that Nevela. Okay, we have now three areas in Halacha where we have learned that if I take it from a solid and I turn it into a liquid, so then you're still going to be liable. The three times are Chelev, Chametz, and Nevela. And the Gemara went through its usual exercise of, we need all three. The Gemara says, let's count now number four. There's the fourth. The Hadatanya. Hatameim le'esor tziran verodvan v'kipa shalahen. Okay? By shrutzim, there's an extra hay. It says hatameim. So now the sheretz gives off tama, correct? So I have a bug. There are only eight of them, eight shrutzim that give off tumah, right. And obviously they only give off tumah after they're dead. So, but that means then if I touch the actual bug, or whatever it is, a frog, a lizard, or whatever it is, if I touch it, I'm going to become tummy. The extra hay says, not only if I touch the actual sheretz, but if I touch the source of the sheretz, the juice of the sheretz, nasty. We're talking about now bug juice. But not the one you drink in camp. We're talking about the real bug juice. So Lester Tsiran Virodvan Vikipashlam Lama Li Ligmar Mehani. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. You're telling me that if the bug expresses some juice and I touch some of the juice, I'm gonna be tummy. Haven't we made the point three times over that if I liquefy something, it still is what it originally was? So the Gemara says, no, it's richa, no, it's necessary. Because you know that everything we've been talking about, which is chelev chametz and nevela, all have the same shear, which is the kazayis. Shratzim have a much smaller threshold. How much sheretz do you need to touch in order to become tamei? Well, if you have a whole bug, so then the whole bug, but what if you only have a fraction of the bug, part of the bug?
Maga.
So maga, and how much? Only the size of a lentil bean. That's all you need in order to get tummy. So I can't learn now from those three, because by those three the shear is a kazayas. By the bug the shear is a nadasha. So the Gemara just flips the argument. Okay, so why don't you make this point by sheretz? Meaning that if I touch the juice of a sheretz, I become tamei. Now, if I touch the juice of the sheretz, I'll be tamei. So then we can extend it to the other three areas, chametz, chelev, and nevela. So, ikalav mefrach, but the Gemara says, yeah, but you already know the argument for that. Mala shorts, mishikain to masa b'mashehu, because the shear of a sheretz is a mashehu. The Gemara does not mean mashehu. The Gemara just simply means it's really small. So I can't extend the halacha from sheretz where the shear is this much, it's tiny, to chelev, nevela, and chametz where the shear is a kazayis. Okay? V'ha detanya. The Gemara says, okay, let's continue this discussion. It's a brisa. Ha tevel. Hachadash, Hahekdesh Vahashviz Vakalayim, Kulam Mashkanayotzamayim Kamosam. Okay, and it gives us a whole list of things. Tevel, any produce where you didn't take off Trumas HaMaisros. Eating Tevel is a Chiv Misa. Chadash, right, we know, but we don't know. You're not allowed to eat new grains, right? Any grains after after the second day of Pesach that take root, I'm sorry, any grains that take root after the second day of Pesach is now what's called Chadash. Chadash Aser Min HaTorah, you're not allowed to eat Chadash. And Hakdesh, anything which is dedicated to the base of Mikdash. Shvi'is, okay, Shvi'is is, we're talking about the requirement of Bi'ur, right? After, in other words, you're allowed to eat fruit from the seventh year, but after the fruit is no longer found in the field, there is a mitzvah of Bi'ur Chametz. Bi'ur Chametz, sorry. Thank you. Bi'ur Shvi'is, of destroying Shemitah. And finally, Kalayim, right? When you plant mixed grains, specifically, by the way, that would be by grapes, right? We just learned this the other day, right? If I plant other seeds together, so the produce that comes out is mutter. If I plant grape seed with wheat or grape seed with barley, so then the yield is prohibited as well. In all these cases that I just gave you, mashkan hayotzei mehem kamosan, the liquid of these are going to be like the solid. Okay, minalan v'chitem aligmar mehanach. So the Gemara says, now how do I know that? So the Gemara says, what a funny question. How do I know that? We just went through this exercise by chametz, by chelev, by nevelas of tahor, and by shratzim, that even in liquid form, it's still prohibited. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? I know that. No, the Gemara says, yeah, but I can't extend it. Malahanach shekein isra haba me'elav. Havu. Teina chechad isra haba me'elav. Hechad alav isra haba me'elav minalan. So the Gemara says, I can't make a comparison. Because in all those examples that I gave, chelev, chametz, and nivlas of tahor, and sheretz, those are all self-generated isurim, meaning not isur that I created, isur simply because they're there, right? As opposed to the list that I just gave you, where in the list that I gave you, some of these isurs were actually created. I created the isur. Okay, I have a simple question for you. Of the list that we just went through, Tevel, Chadash, Hekdesh, Shvi'is, and Kalayim, which one is a Issa that I created? Which one's the Gemara referring to? Right? So you read the Gemara carefully, the Gemara does not say. Right? The Gemara plays its cards very closely to its vest. The Gemara does not tell you which one is an Issa which you created. Take a look at Rashi. Issa haba me'ela, v'tenach lamelach minayu teva, v'charash u'shviyas u'klai karem. Ava hekdesh lo asu minayu. Which Issa did we create? The Isser of Hekdesh, right? Yeah, because by Hekdesh, you're talking about my voice recorder over here. Totally mutter, totally permissible. It's not a food, so it's not a great example. Okay, how about my cup of coffee? I know. I didn't want to do it. So my cup of coffee, after I make my bracha, of course, is going to be mutter. It's going to be totally permissible. And if I'm makdish it, which I will not be, but if I'm makdish it, I create it now. I make iser. I make it hekdesh. Okay. So Rashi says that's what we're talking about. You want to see more discussion about this? Go to the second Tosfos on the page. We're not going to do it. He has issues with Rashi's selection of which one we're talking about. And Tosfos would like to make another selection in that list. See Tosfos for a discussion. Right now, for us, we're fine with Rashi. We'll stick with Rashi. So hecha de iser ba me'elav, hecha de lav iser ba me'elav minalan, gamrina mi bikurim. So the Gemara says, we'll learn it now from bikurim. In other words, in the world of bikurim, I take a solid, I turn it into a liquid, it's still bikurim. Now, bikurim, by the way, is the same thing as truma. You know that. In other words, by truma, I'm not allowed to eat truma. I'm not a kohen. And it's a iser misa bidei shamayim. Right, it's a big issur for a non-kohen to eat truma. Same thing is true with bikurim. Bikurim, that basket that you give to the kohen, same story. You're not allowed to eat it. You eat it. It's misa b'dei shemayim. We'll become gufayim inalan d'ni Rav Yossi pri atamevi v'atamevi mashke. You're not allowed. You have to bring the fruit. You cannot bring the liquid. Hevi anavim v'dar kaminayin. What if I bring grapes and I turn it into the wine? So in other words, for that, it's no longer. It is a basket, but it's no longer a basket of grapes. It's a basket of wine. That coin may be more appreciative. You gave him a little bit of wine. V'dar kaminayin tamalamar tavi. So the Gemara says, the extra word tavi, Rashi says it's superfluous, the Torah didn't have to say it, comes to tell me that even when I take grapes and I turn it into wine, it still has a status of bikurim. So the Gemara says, ikla mifrach ma bikurim shekein to'un in kriya v'hanacha. Wait a second. You're learning out from bikurim. By bikurim, there are requirements. Notably, there's a mitzvah of mikra bikurim. That when you bring bikurim, it's not enough just simply to do the action of bringing the bikurim. You have your part that you need to read. Biarti akorish menabayit, right? No, Arami, right, right, with the parsha before. Sorry, Arami Ovid Avi. Correct. And hanacha, and you need to place the basket on the mizbeach. These are extra requirements that you have by bikurim. Okay. And so we can't learn out from Bikurim because you can only learn out of Limud if it's an even playing field. Ela Gamar mi Truma. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll learn out from Truma, meaning that if I take Truma, which is fruit, and I turn it into liquid, it's still Truma. V'Truma gufa minalan de'itkesh le'Bikurim damamar v'Truma siyadacha ela Bikurim. So the Gemara says, and Truma really is Bikurim. Truma and Bikurim are basically the same. Okay, good. So mala truma shekein chayav la misa v'chamish. So the Gemara says, okay, but I can't learn it out from truma because the punishment for eating truma is misa bidei shemayim, and also when you make restitution, meaning when you eat truma, you just stole from a kohen. You have to make restitution. Not only do you need to make principal payment on that which you ate/stole, but you also have to pay a surcharge of an additional 25%. Ela gamra mitarvayu. So the Gemara says, okay, well, how about learning it through a combination of truma and bikurim? But the Gemara says that immediately rejects that. You can't do that. Truma bikurim, ala truma bikurim, shekein chayavan ala misa v'chomesh. Yeah, because both of them have misa v'chomesh, ala asya mitruma v'chad mehanach. So we'll learn it out from a combination of truma and anything we mentioned up above, i.e. chelev, i.e. chametz, i.e. nevela sof tahar. So the Gemara says, good, period. Or do it from Bikurim and one of the aforementioned Isurim. Good.
So they have no problem doing that.
Yeah. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to start my coffee and we're going to continue. Okay. Here's where we're at. I take a liquid, I turn it into a solid, there is still liability. It still has same status. And we've now identified that to be the case by chelev, chametz, nivlasof tahor, sheretz, and truma/bikurim. Okay? I don't know how you want to do your accounting, because truma and bikurim are really the same. But let's call it the same. So really five different areas in halacha where if I take a solid and I reduce it to a liquid, or converted to a liquid, it's still going to have the same status. Actually, I'd like to redo the accounting because it's also true by Tevel, Chadash, Hekdesh, Shvius, and Kalayim. And according to Rashi, the novelty is the Hekdesh because Hekdesh is an Isser that I created. In all those cases, if I take it from a solid and move it to a liquid state, it's still going to be the same status and I'll still have the same liability for eating it. As we learned in the on the side one of the daf, you don't get the mitzvah. Meaning, in the case of matzah, if I turn matzah into a liquid, you don't get the mitzvah. Right? There's a big discussion. Rabbi Eider talks about it in his Sefer on Pesach. For those who have a hard time chewing matzah, matzah is not that easy to chew. Can you soak it in water? And can you soak the water in matzah and then eat the matzah soaked? So I know the gebrachs issue, but you know, for those who do not worry about gebrachs, can you do that? And part of the discussion is our Gemara right over here, because our Gemara says that you cannot take matzah and turn it into a liquid. even though soaking in water doesn't really turn into liquid. Okay, see Rabbi Eider's book for a discussion about that. Hadidnan. Gemara says, okay, how about this? Dvash tamarim, okay, date honey. Yain tapuchim, apple cider. Chometz sitvanios. Rashi says it's a vinegar from a grape that was undeveloped, unripened. All these cases, says the Mishnah, is the Mishnah Trumos? Vishar mine pera shal truma, Rabbi Eliezer mechayiv keren v'chomesh. V'Rabbi Yoshua poter. So Rabbi Eliezer says, you're going to be chayiv. Meaning, if you eat it, and you eat it b'shogeg, you'll have liability. You'll have to make restitution. You'll have to add the 25% surcharge. That's according to Rabbi Eliezer. However, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you're putter. Okay? Problem is obvious. What just happened over here? We spent a daf of Gemara. No less than a daf of Gemara going through how if I take a solid and I turn it into a liquid, it still has the same status. And meanwhile, Rabbi Yeshua has just informed us that that's not true. That if I take any of these fruits and turn it into a liquid, date honey, apple cider, vinegar, so you will be exempt. You're not allowed to, but you will be exempt from paying chomesh, keren v'chomesh. So b'may pligi b'dormina umino b'dormina v'uka ba'asra k'mefligin. So the Gemara says, you know what the machlokus is over here? Machlokus is the old classic. We're making a limud. When I make a limud, how far do I make the limud? Do I go all the way with the limud, or do I stop? I'll explain a little bit better. Rabbi Elazar Savar, do mina umina, ma bikurin mashkin ayotze mehem kamosam, av trumanami mashkin ayotze mehem kamosan. Umina, ma bikurin afilu sharminim, av trumanami afilu sharminim. So, Rabbi Eliezer says, don mina umina, meaning, we're learning from Bikurim to Truma. We know, the starting point is Bikurim. We know that by Bikurim, if I take the grape and I turn it into wine and I hand it to the Kohen, I say, here's the Bikurim, check. You fulfilled the mitzvah. Why? It's a drasha, we learned it out earlier from the word Tavi. Okay, good. And then we learn out Truma from Bikurim. And Rabbi Eliezer says, don mina umina. You keep going. Meaning, as long as we're making the limud, whatever's true from the source is going to be true in terms of the target as well. So from the source, turning it from a solid to a liquid, same. So truma, turning it from a solid to a liquid, the same, and it doesn't matter what the fruit is. Could be any fruit. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Dav Mina, Ma Bikurin, Mashkana Yotze Mehem Kamosan, Av Truma, Mashkana Yotze Mehem Kamosan, V'uki Ba'asra. Uki ba'asra means, even though we're making a limud, but don't make the limud all the way. Meaning, look at it in its context. Ma mashkin dekachim b'truma, tirsh v'yitzar in midi achrin alo, av mashkin ayotze mehem kamosam, tirsh v'yitzar in midi achrin alo. Because in the world of Bikurim, so what fruits are we talking about? Grapes and olives. In the world of Truma, which fruits are we talking about? Grapes and olives, and only grapes and olives, not any other fruits. Okay, can I share with you an interesting machlokas? It's Rashi right over here. Rashi over here has the following discussion. We know there's a mitzvah of truma, right? And the mitzvah of truma requires us to take, when we gather in from our fields, to take from the fruit and give a portion of it to the kohen. Which fruit is subject to the mitzvah of truma? Okay. From our Gemara, it sounds like all fruits. The Gemara doesn't even flinch when it discusses apple cider and date honey and sidvanios are really grapes. So, okay, but tamar is a date. Yeah, okay. So, right, date honey, apple cider. So it sounds like from the Gemara that the mitzvah of truma is on all fruits. Rashi says it here. You will find Rashi a couple of other places in Shas. Don't ask me where right now. I'm not that good. So Rashi writes. You want to see the Rashi after Truma Nami Sheha Sheifrisha Beperes Kegon Tamar V'Tapuchin Kevin to Truma Noeges Bepri Af Al Gav Deino nohagis b'mashkin shalahem ela b'tirsh v'yitzah b'vad hanach mashkin kevin demi peres truma asu harehin k'truma v'hai don mina mina lav davka. Rashi says, even though the Gemara sounds like we're making drushas, and whenever we make a drusha, that sounds like it's a din da'araisa, Rashi says it's not true. Right, lav davka kamar, da hatamarim v'tapuchim gufayhu, ein shumasan min ha-Torah ela midivrei sofrim. The idea that we have to take truma off of dates, off of apples, that's not a din da'araisa, that's only a din da'rabanan. Min ha-Torah, I only take truma off of, according to Rashi, grapes, right? Grapes slash wine, olive slash oil, and presumably wheat. And that's it. Now, when I say wheat, do I also mean barley? I'm not sure. For Rashi, I'm not sure. Okay? But that's it. In other words, in the fruit department, it's only grapes and olives. That's it. Midrabanan, the rabbi said, okay, you know what? We'll add all the other fruits as well. But that's midrabanan. So then Rashi has to figure out our Gemara, because our Gemara then is very misleading. Because our Gemara is talking about making a drasha to other fruits. So Rashi says, lav davka. In other words, don't take the Gemara literally. V'hachihu de karminan. And how are you going to understand our Gemara? Rashi says like this. Kevin de midi de araisa islan, don mina umina. The Gemara is having a discussion almost philosophically, meaning, right, what if other fruits were da'araisa, if the obligation to take off truma for other fruits were da'araisa, then we would have extended the limud. Okay, now it's not da'araisa, it's da'rabanan, but you know the rule. Anything that's da'rabanan is ke'ein da'araisa takon. Meaning it's patterned, it's fashioned after a da'araisa. So if other fruits were da'araisa, we would have followed through with the drasha. Okay, so the da'rabanan, but at least on a da'rabanan level, we'll follow through with the drasha. I don't know if I made that clear. It's a very subtle point in terms of how to understand the Gemara, but based on the fact that Rashi's assumption is other fruits are not chayv and truma in the Torah, you have to come up with some pshat in the Gemara, and Rashi says, that's how you understand the Gemara, it's ke'in da'araisa. Let's go back to the Gemara. And by the way, who argues with Rashi? The Rambam. Rambam argues with Rashi. The Rambam says that all fruit are chayv and truma samaisos, mid da'araisa. What would be excellent evidence for the Rambam? Our Gemara right over here, because our Gemara is using drashas to talk about other fruits, at least min ha-Torah. The hadidnan, the clock is right? It's 10 minutes to?
Yeah.
Okay. The hadidnan ein mevien bikurin mashke ela hayotze min azesu min anavim. So the Gemara says, we have a Mishnah. You want to bring bikurim and you want to turn it into a liquid. The Mishnah says, only by olives and only by grapes, and that's it. So mani Rabbi Yoshua hidamar domina vuka basra. So v'gamar lohula bikurim mitruma. So the Gemara says, that's Rabbi Yoshua speaking. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's domina mina, meaning according to Rabbi Eliezer, you could take any one of the bikurim and turn into a liquid, and it would be the same. The hadidnan in sofkenes arba'i misham arla el aliyotim min azesim min ananavim. So the Gemara says, okay, what about arla? Now, you know, fruit that comes off the tree for the first 3 years after the tree was planted is prohibited. What if I take that fruit and turn it into a liquid? So the Mishnah tells us that I'm only going to be liable by grapes and olives. So the Gemara says, "Mani Rabbi Yoshua, damar dami navuka basra, v'gamalu li bikurim mitruma, v'hadamaisu l'arla pri mi bikurim." And he sets up a number of limudim that basically gets us to the place that this is also true by arla, but only by grapes and olives, not by all other fruits as well.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
For bikurim, do you have to take your own actual produce and then turn into juice, or can you just buy a bottle of olive oil?
No, it's your own.
It has to be your own. Okay.
Right. There is no mitzvah bikurim from somebody else's produce. Okay. Good. All right. That was a long discussion. Nearly a daf of Gemara in the middle of Chul, in the middle of the ninth perek, dedicated to the discussion of what if I convert it from a solid to a liquid. And the bottom line is, the conclusion is that it's same status. it's going to have same status. We saw it by chaleb, by chametz, by nevelos of tahor. We saw it by sheretz. We saw it by hekdesh. We saw it by bikurim. We saw it by truma. We saw it by arla. Okay? I mean, really, we covered a lot of topics, but basically the idea is straightforward. Converting it from a solid to a liquid still has the same status. Okay, again, there are exceptions. Matzah is an exception. And at least according to Rav Yehoshua, it's only going to be by grapes and olives, not by any of the other, not by any of the other fruits. Okay. Alal. Okay, we move on. We're at the next part of the Mishnah. Okay, we're in the fourth word of the Mishnah. We're flying. We're like, right? So we've covered now three words of the Mishnah. And it took three dapim to go through three words of the Mishnah. Okay? And we're up to the fourth word of the Mishnah, alal. Now, the Mishnah says that alal, also, same story. Okay? It's mitzdarif latam tumas ochlin. It's mitzdarif, which means that it's not a food. It could be a food. Okay? What is it? It's a funny word, meaning even the word itself. I cannot tell you. Well, I know there's going to be a Pasuk in Eov coming up in just a moment. But between us friends, I'm not fluent in Eov. And that's an understatement. Meaning, but just the word alal. I know it's an airline. But I'm saying, but we don't know. We don't know that. We're not familiar with that word. At least I'm not. Where does that word come up? So the Gemara says, my alal. So Rav Yochanan Amar, martika. Okay, good. Somewhat helpful. Rashi on the top of the page. It's the first Rashi on the top of the page. Gid hashedra v'hatsavar v'hu racha v'lavan v'kashe ma'od. It's a sinew going up the neck. Okay, you want to give me some help in terms of which one we're talking about? Okay, good. I won't take help then. It is, it's Rashi describes it as being wide, white, and very hard.
It's sort of like a tendon.
A ligament, a tendon.
It is a ligament.
Okay. And the coron or so yibul, and then Rashi says, you want to know what it's called in Old French? Good. That's what it's called in Old French. So, now, by the way, second Tosis on the page, the Rach, Rabbi Nochanano, gives a different explanation other than what Rashi says. Okay. Let's just call it a tendon. Just to make the discussion nice and simple, we will call it a tendon. At least according to Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish Amar, Basar, Shepalta Sosakin. It is meat. Meat that the knife spit out. Right? What does that mean? So, take a look at Rashi. Kishim Afshitin Es HaBehema. So, right, remember whenever we flay the animal? No. I joke. None of us has been flaying the animals lately. Okay, but still, in other words, for those of you who are trimming the fat, every time, you know, you cut, you don't get, it's not just fat. You always get a little bit of meat for the ride. When they flay the animal, there's going to be a little bit of meat stuck to the hide. Pa'amim sha'asakin polate min abasar etzel ha'or. Sometimes that knife is not just cutting hide, but it comes in a little bit and leaves a little bit of meat on the hide. V'lo chashiv. Now, you know what you're going to do. You're going to dispose of or give it to the tanner. But that meat, you didn't think, oh, I can't wait to eat that meat. Fafalan, you lost it. You lost that meat. Okay, and later on the Gemara is going to discuss the parameters. That is shot number two. That's offered by Reish Lakish. Meat on that's left over on the hide when you flayed. Meisvei. The Gemara says, well, we do have this word alal. It comes up in Eov. Okay? You would have looked up your concordantia. Right, what a work that is. Right, Concordancia catalogs all the words in Tanakh.
Alphabetically.
Right.
Alphabetically.
Right. So Meisvei. So the Gemara says we do have the word alal comes up in Tanakh. It comes up in Sefer Eov. V'ulamatem toflei sheker roflei elil kulchem. Eov had it with his friends. His friends weren't helping him. Right, Rashi gives us the context, which is basically Rashi's way of telling us, I know you don't know. I know you don't know what's going on. Eov Amar L'Chaver, Rashi says that Eov was talking to his friends, Mechavrei Divrei Sheker Atem. You're all lying to me. V'davar she'ein bo refuatem omrim l'refuasi. And you're all giving me your no disrespect, of course, to the gentleman up front, right? You're all giving me your crack medicine. Like this is not helping me out. Look at the pasuk again. Ulam atem tofle sheker. You're lying. Rofle elil kulchem. It's joke. The medicine that you're providing, the refuah you're providing, is a total joke. Okay, nonsense. Look, what are they prescribing? If they're prescribing the tendons, yeah, you understand. That's not a food. So they're telling him, go ahead, go eat tendon. And he's looking at them and saying to them, are you out of your mind? That's not a food. So the Gemara says, but if what they're prescribing is, get the meat right off the hide, that's going to be helpful. Basically, what they're prescribing is chicken soup. Okay, not chicken soup, but you know what I mean, meat soup. That's so bad? That may help. So the Gemara says, "Ba'alal dekrad dekul amalo pligi ki pligi ba'alal demasnisan." Look, when the word elil, alal, is used in the psukim, in Tanakh, in Eov, we're all in agreement. That's meat. What we're arguing about is, what is it meant in the Mishnah? Tashma Rav Yehuda Omer Halal Mechunas Yemish Kazayis B'makam Echad Chayav Malav V'am Rav Huna V'hu Shekan So. Why don't you read on in the Mishnah? And the Mishnah talks about Alal that is aggregated in one place. Where Rav Yehuda says that if it's aggregated in one place, so it is significant. Now, Bishlam L'man D'Abar Basar Shal Plei Tassu Sakin Hainu D'chi Is Kazayis Mechayav. Look, I get it. Meaning, if we're talking about the meat on the hide, so then yeah, I understand Rav Yehuda. But if we're talking about the tendon, it's a tendon. I don't care if you have a kezayis. I don't care if you have more. It's a tendon. It's not a food. The Gemara calls it eitz ba'alma. So what's Rav Yehuda talking about? Oh, if it's aggregated and you have a kezayis of it, you're going to be chayev. That doesn't make any sense. Again, the Gemara qualifies. Aliba de Rav Yehuda lo pligi. Look, Rav Yehuda for sure believes that alal is the meat on the hide. Ki pliga aliba de Rabbanan. So Rav Yochanan amar martika nami mitzarif. Reish lakish amar dafka basar shepleitas osakin av amartika lo mitzarif. So the Gemara says the machlokus is exclusively within the position of the Chachamim. And according to Rav Yochanan, a tendon can be mitzarif. By itself, you're right, it's eitz ba'alma, but it can combine with a piece of meat. Okay. We'll stop over here. I'd like to have finished up to the two dots, but we're ran out of time. Okay, tomorrow we'll finish it up, and we're going to move on in the Mishnah, and we'll finish up the discussion of the Mishnah, move on to the next Mishnah, ninth parak of Chulin. Rabbi Chananya Menachash Amar Tzadok Baruch Hu Zachus Tzoficha Chirvan Tzar Mitzvah Shenema Anaycha Fitzamansi Kol Yagdul Tzar V'Yadir.